The following program contains mature subject matter and is for listeners 18 years or older. Discretion is advised. All views expressed are solely those of the person who said them. We are not doctors. Advice is intended for novelty purposes only. Hi, I'm Dylan. Along with Cooper, Kylie, Tyler, and Sasha, we explore opening our eyes to new possibilities. How we got here, how we stay here, where we go from here, and how you can find your way to an exciting, pleasurable, but sometimes intimidating world is what we're here for. Pull up a swing and explore a sex-positive examination of love, relationships, and the world around us. Welcome to Life on the Swing Set.
Okay, welcome to Life on the Swing Set, the podcast. This is episode 4, which is Compersion versus Jealousy. I'm Cooper, and with me today is...
Sasha Darling.
Do it.
All right. So now I think we really need to open this up first thing with a definition of the term compersion, because this is something that's a little different. It's not a term that's widely known. It was coined in the 60s at the earliest free love communes and the beginnings of the swinger movement and the beginnings of the polyamory movement, and it means taking pleasure at your partner having pleasure. So it basically functions as the complete opposite of jealousy, which is being, in our lifestyle, which is most often being jealous of your partner, having pleasure, more pleasure than you, whatever. So compersion is the idea that the very fact that they are enjoying themselves is enough for you to enjoy yourself. So, along those lines, there's...
You know, we have the definition of compersion. We all... know how it feels on one way or another, otherwise we wouldn't be in this lifestyle. I guess, you know, how does it work on in a day-to-day basis when you're swinging with someone? I know for me, you know, before I even knew what compersion was, I had a good feel for the feeling of it. I mean, you know, there's, if you want to talk about something most people know about, you know, voyeurism, you know, you like to watch other people, and I do enjoy watching other people have a good time. Well, you know, compersion, I enjoy watching Antonia enjoy herself with somebody else. You know, it starts with something like, you know, enjoying her masturbating and playing with herself. And, you know, of course that's nice and stimulating, but I enjoy knowing that she's had a good time. You know, I kind of like to ask for almost a play by play after we're done. And it's not necessarily because, you know, oh, I want to know every single detail and anything like that. It's because I want to make sure that she's had a good experience. And I enjoy knowing that she had a good experience, and that's really what that is to me.
Well, one of the things that compersion and just people who like to watch, and I'm not saying this is you, I'm saying that the difference between those two is the idea that with compersion you don't even need to be there. It's you just know that they're having a good time, and it's all about the trust element. And it's all about being confident with your situation. And basically, jealousy is all negative. There is nothing positive in the idea of jealousy. It interferes. It makes you angry for often no reason. And the goal should be to work towards complete compersion, because it would make the world a better place. If you weren't jealous about anything like that, then you're always happy, you're always confident, your partner's happy and confident. So therefore, it's all good. Now, what is jealousy? That's the other side of the coin. And how is it interfered with those wanting to swing? See, we see a lot of people who want to get into the lifestyle, and they discover very quickly that there's going to be feelings of jealousy. You know, and the first time I saw Marilyn with another man, there were little flickers of jealousy and little bits of, oh, that's not, oh, and you kind of got to work through that. Oh, Sasha, how did you feel the first time you saw that?
The first time,
or were you too distracted with yourself?
You know what?
Distractions are always good.
You know what? In the beginning, I was not jealous about my partner being with somebody. I was more of jealous that he enjoyed his evening more than I did.
Oh, that's an interesting
I had a
thing.
jealousy of you were fully completed, but yet I wasn't.
When I've experienced that as well. Early on, we went to a swinger party, and Marilyn had her fun, and I didn't get to do anything. And it kind of that was the time in the lifestyle that I felt the most jealous. It felt like being left out in high school again. But I quickly identified, okay, that's what this is. It's
Right.
just this jealousy, and it doesn't mean that what she did was wrong or bad. It means that I'm reacting
Yes.
to this. And so what we decided, and what I think is a reasonable expectation in the lifestyle, is that if we're out and about at a party, we are first concerned with our partners. I make sure that she's having a good time. She makes sure I'm having a good time. And once we're both, with the green light, then all systems go.
Yeah, I think mine came further in the evening, he was making sure that I was just fine, I was comfortable, I was having fun, everything was good. It was when everybody was done and I didn't finish. That's where my jealousy came in, and I felt at that point I missed it,
Well, with Antonia and I, there is usually a big time discrepancy between, how long I'll take with somebody and how long she'll take with somebody. And she's I know that usually it, stereotypically, I guess it's usually the woman that takes longer. And I'm almost kind of surprised that well, no, I mean, stereotypically, if you're going to talk about men and women able to get pleasure, men, it's like, oh, a 5 minute pop, but he's off, and that's it.
Right, but at the same
But
time,
women,
you've got to also, take your time and please that woman that you're with.
Right,
That's right. So
exactly.
both sides should take plenty of time, is what we're
Yeah,
saying.
both sides.
Right, and I'm just saying, in many circumstances, she will only she'll go about half an hour, maybe 45 minutes, but for me, it can be an hour and a half, 2 hours, depending on who I'm with, of course. And just the whole experience can be that long. And
Well, that's something you
as
sort of have to develop as a swinging couple, is that barometer of I can't take forever,
Right.
because then the other half is goes downstairs and watch TV. There has to be some sort of balance there, and it's something you really only get to after you've had the experience a few times, and you sort of sit down and talk about it and say, okay, well, this is what I liked and this is what I didn't like about tonight. And really, that's something that you should do after every
Yes.
interaction in the lifestyle, because that is how you work towards the compersion. If you're always talking about what you liked, what you didn't like, how you felt about this, how you felt about that, then there's no secret about it anymore. And really, it's the secrecy that leads to jealousy often.
And that secrecy also doesn't help your partner, reduce any jealousy or, help you work together towards the compersion.
Yeah, exactly. How are they supposed to know that
Right.
you felt bad about this unless you say something? Because I mean, there have been times where we leave a party and it's like, did you have fun? Yeah. Did you have fun? Yeah. Then later, like, I didn't really like it when that thing happened. It's like, well, why didn't you say something when it was
Is
happening?
that a
Or
woman thing? Do we all do that?
everybody does that. I've done that. I've seen a few times where I've been uncomfortable with something, but oh, it looks like she's having so much fun. So I guess I'll just sit here and be uncomfortable.
Right.
Be because
Well, I mean,
it's.
sometimes it's nice to do a post-mortem as opposed to an interruption in the middle, because I got to admit, I'm kind of a fan of dealing with stuff that way.
Later.
I
Yeah,
mean,
you
if it's
don't want to
something,
interrupt the whole
outright,
mood of the
yeah.
evening.
Oh, no,
Yeah.
but you want to
Yeah.
deal with it before
Yes.
days have gone
Oh,
by,
yes.
before your next play date, before, yeah, so it doesn't stack up.
Right.
Now the question is, when we feel jealous, how do we go about changing how we feel, or changing or controlling the way we react, because really it's about two things. There is first how we feel and dealing with it ourselves, and then how we react to that jealousy and potentially create conflict, drama, all these things that we are trying very hard to avoid in the lifestyle. So was there a time you felt especially jealous but were able to turn that around is the question.
Well, you know, a lot of my jealousy issues were actually before I became a swinger. And, you know, my solution to that was lots and lots of simulation. How did it feel when I think about seeing, you know, her with somebody else? And why would I feel that way? And why is it any different if I was with somebody else when that's
so
a
possible
thing?
So you ran scenarios.
Yes, lots and lots of them, and it took a long time. But you know, after I was a swinger, I have to admit, I did have a couple of times where I got a little jealous, and it wasn't necessarily during the sex. It was the whole. I think it was just a function of being a little unprepared on what the first interactions were. For example, I didn't expect the level of intense flirting that that can go on between people. And, I mean, I love it. I absolutely adore it now. I mean, that's half the reason I got into this. I just love to flirt. But I'd never run a simulation.
That included flirting?
Right. It's like, wow, she seems to enjoy his company. They're complimenting each other. Oh, and getting a little cuddly. I didn't expect that. And I got I felt a little bit of heat behind my face building up. And so I kind of had to stop and say, well, you know, number one, distraction's only going to get you so far. So I didn't deal with it. I got lucky, and I didn't deal with it by just flirting even harder with the person that I was with.
Increasing your flirting intensity.
That's right. That's probably not a good way of dealing with it. I got lucky and chose the whole, well, wait a second. Why am I getting jealous of this? We're both here. We both agreed to do this.
And we both want to do this also.
Yes, yes. And so I kind of had to just calm myself down for a couple minutes and say, there's nothing wrong with this. She's enjoying herself. There's nothing wrong with that. I need to enjoy myself. I need to take pleasure in her enjoying that. And so for me, it was kind of a little bit of a roundabout convincing act that this was okay. And after I got over it, it only happened about twice, and it was only in the very beginning with the flirting stages. I mean, I didn't have any problems, you know, actually having sex with someone else or actually watching her have sex with somebody. That was never a problem. So yeah, it was just the initial flirting stages that were a little uncomfortable, but I got over it.
I have to tell you, and being in this, you know, a little bit longer, we've come across many situations, and we have dealt with each of them a little bit differently. You know, I get, you know, and I guess I've moved towards the compression more so because of my partner. He is fully fine just sitting back sometimes and just watching, you know, and letting me mm-hmm. be pleased and not, and maybe it's not being pleased by a man, maybe it's a woman. You know, and he's fully fine to just sit back for the evening with that, you know.
When that shows a comfort level, you know, and, which is very important.
And it was almost like he led by example, you know what I mean? And, you know, and I said, well, if he can do it, then so can I. We've had situations where, you know, we've gone away, gone out for an evening and, you know, all of a sudden the gentleman there, you know, we're all in bed and the gentleman will get up and, you know, he's like not feeling well from dinner and he left and, you know, my partner's fucking his wife and I'm like, now I'm just sitting here and I, you know, was a little jealous and uncomfortable because I wanted some of that attention, you know, and it wasn't so much, you know, a jealousy over him fucking her, but I was just like, okay, I'm bored. Now what do I do? Do I get up and leave? Do I, you know, I want some of that because I was rearing to go, you know. But in some of those situations where, you know, like I had mentioned earlier, it was my jealousy over the fact that I didn't get to finish. Our way to deal with it is, you know what, after everybody leaves, he's got to get ready to go again and finish me, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And actually, you know, that's an interesting comment. I've heard this from a number of our friends. One of our really good friends calls it reclamation sex, too. Where basically at the end of the evening, yes. Or sometimes because we sometimes get exhausted at the end of the evening, definitely before the next date, there's reclamation. So if you're doing a double header, you're doing a Friday and a Saturday, which, let's be honest, mm-hmm. sometimes happens.
Yes.
Between that Friday night and that Saturday night, there has to be sex with your partner, because then it's back to, oh yes, this is what we are. We are a unit. We are a couple, and now we're going to go out and fuck them.
Yes.
So.
Yeah.
And that seems to work really well for a lot of people. That it's part of our rule book, unless things get really just time factor. You know how things get.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, I wonder if that kind of comes up organically in couples. I mean, I've never called it reclamation sex, but I know that one of the big things for me is that at the end of the night, I wanted Antonio to be the last person I'm with, and
yes.
Occasionally it doesn't work out that way, but I do want to connect with her as soon as possible. But I wonder if that kind of comes up with everybody, or whether that's...
Well, it is, anthropologically speaking, that is the basically the guy coming in and saying, okay, all that other person's semen in there, I'm going to get it out of there and put my better semen in there. And actually, in the book, The Lifestyle, The Erotic Rites of Swingers, it goes into the anthropologic history of non-monogamy and the reason for it, and why it's often the best sex of the night after you've seen your partner with someone else. Because it is that reclamation, and very interestingly, the reason the head of a penis is shaped the way it is, is to help scoop out the semen of the competitor
yes.
males. So basically, you're pulling out the other stuff, and then you're going to put yours in there, which is why you talk to swingers, and this comes up on a lot of the swinger forums, is why is the orgasm so much more powerful, or the sex so much better at the end of the night, even though you're exhausted? And it's because your body is specifically designed to, you know, run faster, jump higher, shoot harder, which is, I think, anthropologically fascinating.
I think Daft Punk should make a song about that.
And it's just, you know, it's just more proof that we were meant to be this way.
We were meant to be swingers, huh?
That, I think so.
Well, you know, that kind of reconnection, you know, knowing that there's going to be a reconnection at the end of the night makes it easier to both, at least for me, it makes it easier to take pleasure in her pleasure, and it makes it easier to be flexible, you know, when different situations come up. And I know that I had a very nice night where, first time meeting a new couple, really, and the male partner of the opposite couple wasn't feeling very good, and so you know he couldn't do anything. But I went ahead and fucked his wife, and then a couple weeks later they came over, and you know I went ahead and told my wife, you know, hey, you should go ahead. And you should go and take him. And, you know, she can be a little bit timid. And you know, he can be a little bit timid, too. So I kind of had to scheme the two of them together along with his wife and get them together. And so they ended up having a really nice threesome while, you know, I kind of chilled and sat out. And I was okay with that. You know, I knew they were having fun, kind of, in, you know, enjoyed the concept of that. You know, nothing sexual happened with me that night. But it was really nice to know that all three of them were having a good time. And you know, I kind of wanted to repay back a little bit of trust that, you know, the male partner had showed me, because, you know, I wouldn't necessarily want to go, as much as I don't really care about being equal every time, if I went and let somebody fuck my wife and I didn't get to fuck their wife, you know, it would eventually get to bug me. And so I kind of wanted to make sure that he knew that, oh, I understood, and I wanted to make sure he was taken care of, and it all ended up well. You know, we've seen them a couple times since then, and it's been all good.
Well, and see, that's the journey from jealousy to compersion. Compersion's this abstract perfection ideal. You know, there's never going to be a moment where we are 100% just happy with the idea of our partner having a great time and not be at all concerned whatsoever about ourselves. We're never going to get to that ideal. But what you're talking about there is you knew that, and your wife knew that this would get paid back somehow. That somehow the scales would be even, you know. And it's not even in a numbers game. It's knowing that I'm having fun, you're going to have fun, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to have fun, and we're going to have fun for the rest of our lives. So it's not as much concern like, oh, well, you got to fuck him, I get to fuck her, you know. It's moving beyond that type of thing. Now, Sasha, you were going to say something before I cut you off so rudely.
Ugh, Cooper, what a...
And I put you on the spot now.
I'll talk. You know what? I'll take over. We actually had that same situation this weekend. You know, we were at a large party, and the female partner had a very, very long day and went to sleep.
Ah.
So he actually had said, please, no. You know, after our evening, you know, little tryst, he said, now, please, I'm going to send my wife over to you. Can you take care of her next? You know, so.
A lot of it's being just a good guy, you know, mm-hmm. a good girl. And just being like, okay, you know, you gave me an awesome thing here. So here you go. Here's an awesome thing back for you.
Mm-hmm. But he's doing it for his partner, you know.
Yeah.
And my husband's all excited. Two girls, why not, you know.
When the nice thing about this in our community is it allows us to be more flexible.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to be as concerned about, you know, I see the people who are closest to the full joy in each other's pleasure are also the ones that are okay with, okay, well, you know, if you want to take my wife for a weekend or if you want to have her for the night, you go right ahead. That's cool. I've got other things to do. Then maybe some night I borrow your wife. Or, you know, the husbands can swap, and it's easier to be flexible into all sorts of different ideals then. So, you know, the ubiquitous threesome that everybody's always looking for, you don't necessarily have to find that unicorn. That single female.
Mm-hmm.
You can instead borrow the female from one of your other couples, or borrow the male and do a MFM threesome. I mean, there's mm-hmm. there's so many new avenues then once you realize that, you know, you don't have to worry about what's going on over at that house when my wife is over there. I don't have to be worried about it because I know they're good people and they're not going to do anything that will hurt her or that she doesn't want to do. And she's not going to do anything that would shock and appall me. So therefore, I don't have to be jealous about it. And someday, you know what? I'll get the same thing. And it lets you not worry about, like you said, it always being equal. And this also helps with a whole host of other relationship problems. I mean, the big thing, one of our early couples wound up with huge jealousy issues because she came in a different way than she'd ever come before, and therefore it was suddenly, well, what was different there? Why was that better? You know, what did he do? And they wound up completely self-destructing in the lifestyle because of this little issue that shouldn't have been an issue. He should have just been able to be happy that she had a nice orgasm. Let's talk a little bit about starvation economy. This is a big reason why people don't believe that swinging can work or believe that, you know, polyamory can work. The idea behind starvation economy is that in order for you to have something, you have to take it from me. So I only have a limited amount of stuff. And in love and in sex, it's I can devote all my love and sexual interest towards my spouse. And then if I have a little love or sexual interest towards someone else, it is somehow removing some of this love and sexual interest from the spouse category and putting it over there. And this is a big concept, and a lot of people firmly believe that you can't be, you know, committed to one person and another, or you can't be committed to one person and spend time with another. This is why we have so many issues in relationships in the vanilla world, where people you know, are just talking to an ex-girlfriend. And of course it must mean something, because if you're interested in talking to that person, what am I lacking that they have? You know, and that's the epitome of jealousy. It's what is wrong with me that you're doing this? And somehow we, as the swinging community, the polyamory community, the open relationship community, we've come to that realization that starvation economy just doesn't apply to us. And it doesn't apply in general, but it really doesn't apply to us. Because it's not a choice between one person and the other. It's just like when you have children, you don't suddenly love one less because you have two.
Well, you know, it's not that much of a logical leap to make, you know, to say, well, you know, you can love multiple people, multiple family members, multiple friends, and say that you can't share, you know, those feelings with other people that you just happen to have sex with too. It's that straw man argument. Like, you have to, it has to be one or the other. There are other options out there, and just like sexuality is not a, you know, you are gay or you are straight. There's a very long range of possibilities and feelings that go along with that. I think there's something to be said about applying that to where you decide to put your love, and that, you know, you can never go wrong loving too many people or liking too many people or enjoying too many people's company. Yeah, you know, there's definitely a lot to be said for hating too many people. I mean, you know, I kind of feel like loving more people and enjoying more people kind of multiplies and feeds on itself, and you know, same can go other way, but that's how I feel about it.
I want to talk about love a little bit more in the swing, you know, community.
Because it is a controversial idea.
Mm-hmm. I think, you know what, but we can say we love our vanilla friends.
Yeah.
You know, and I think that same vanilla love carries over into the swing lifestyle. We're not saying we love any of these sexual partners as we love our spouse. You know, we're saying we love them or care for them as we love and care for our vanilla friends. You know, it's okay for, you know, us to say we love, you know, them. I don't, give me a second.
No, you're right about that.
I agree with that. And it's something that I've been thinking about a lot lately, because we've known most of the people we're close, you know, most of the swingers we have relationships with, we've known for a good portion of the time we've been swingers. So, you know, when you know someone and are close to someone and are intimate with them for a year plus, you yeah. have that exact same feeling, like, I do love my friends and I know I love my friends, but at the same time you feel a little nervous about sharing that word with some swinger couples, because we're taught as swingers, yes. and this is one of the most interesting swinger oppressions, is that no, you can't love each other. That's bad.
Yeah, I you know, it's, I don't think it's a distinction that we end up having to make.
Because swinging,
you know, I have told several of my guy friends, you know, not often, and I, you know, but I have told several of them that I do love them. And, you know, it's always been a positive thing. It's never been, oh man, you told me I love you. It is what it is. And, I can love them as friends, love them as people. And I can, you know, love some of the people that I'm swingers with, and there's nothing wrong with that.
When then
it's a different love.
Yeah. And it's really swinging, when you get right down to it, swinging is no different than vanilla friendship. You do all sorts of fun things with your vanilla friends. Swinging, you do all sorts of fun things with your swinger friends. You just also have sex with them. And the problem is that sexuality is so often tied to, you know,
love.
Romantic but, love.
Yes.
That it's hard for people to understand that this thing I'm doing with these friends is not a whole lot different than the things I do with these friends, once you get over the fact that it's sex.
Yeah, it's physical sex, you know, not romantic sex. It's friendship sex. It's
doing something fun.
Sex.
Yeah.
It's just sex.
And you know what? Friendship sex is something that I think a lot of people have dabbled with being in college. It's, you know, there's a lot to be said for sexual experience in college. And, you know, I have definitely had sex with people that I haven't loved. And I think that, you know, it's okay to do that when you're in college. And it's okay to feel things that aren't love for people that you're intimate with when you're in college. You know, there's no reason that now you're in a consenting adult relationship with, you know, your lover that you can't feel the same way, now.
Basically, it comes down to, you know, you always want to be working towards this ideal, this compersion ideal, and working on the jealousy issues, because they will come up, and they'll come out of left field, and you won't expect them at all. You know, my wife Marilyn likes to do sexting with some of our friends, and I don't have a problem with the idea of that, and I don't have a problem with her doing that. I suddenly had a problem once when I saw some of the messages, and I had to really think about what it was that was making me uncomfortable and why I was feeling like that. And it turned out the reason I was feeling like that is because she wasn't doing that with me. She hadn't even tried doing that with me. And so it was not that I was jealous she was doing it with other people. I was more feeling jealous that she wasn't doing that with me. And once I told her that, she's like, I'd be happy to do that with you. I didn't think you were into that. And these guys were very much into that.
I have to let you know, my husband did that once, you know, and he'll do it here and there with some of our partners. He did it once and he deleted it. And I got jealous because I felt excluded.
Like he was hiding it from you.
Yes.
Yes.
I felt excluded. And I thought, you know, if we're in this together, I let you see everything that I do. You know, I want to be able to see everything he does too.
Absolutely. And that's a good, you know, jealousy guard. And at some point, it basically comes down to, you need to have the confidence in your partner that they're not doing anything wrong. So when what they're doing is an open book, and they're more than happy to share it with you, if you want to see it, and at the beginning, you probably will want to see it all, because we're bred this way. We're bred to be jealous and to be suspicious and all that. But then, you know, once you realize that there's nothing that they're not willing to tell you or show you, then it's real easy to trust that. But the point is, it's not always going to be easy.
Yeah, and I think the point is, you have to go back and look at yourself and figure out what part of it is making you yourself jealous.
Yeah, and it comes down to being about you, absolutely, because the jealousy is coming nowhere from you. And that's easy to say as a blanket statement and disregard the fact that there are a lot of instances where people aren't being completely honest, and you know, there is cheating in the lifestyle, so we don't want to make it sound like there's utopia in the lifestyle, and once you join, there will never be the possibility of cheating or going behind each other's back or any of that again. But it does come down to then the communication. If you have this solid stable of communication, even something so much as, you know, if a lot of people are concerned of, what if my wife falls in love with someone else? And there's potential there. What if that happens? The book Opening Up by Tristan Taramino had a really interesting statement there. It's like, well, then you look at your relationship and you decide, okay, what is there of value in our relationship? Are we happy in our relationship? Is this something that is so out of left field that I would end our relationship because of it? Or is this just the next step on our journey? Because our journey, the three of us and our partners, was to become swingers, which is something very antithetical about the way we were all raised and the way society told us to be. And so the idea of polyamory may be something that's on your journey. I sound very hippie-ish there, don't I?
Very
that's
much.
Okay. I'm smoking when you're smoking, man.
Well, so it's comes down to, before I beat the horse to death, It comes down to just being willing to see what happens and not so quick to judge it. And that is what allows you to not get jealous so quickly, because you're not immediately saying, okay, well, she did something behind my back. She did something wrong. They did something wrong. You're sort of being a lot more open. And that's really what it's all about, being open. So we'll leave you with that. This has been episode 4 of Life on the Swing Set, Compersion versus Jealousy. Next time we're going to be talking about full swap versus soft swap. We're doing our versus shows right together here, you know, which is a good way to do it because it's like title matches. So I've been Cooper. Thank you guys for hanging out and talking here for another episode.
Thanks, Cooper.
You guys should really comment on some of the articles we post. I'd love to get a little back and forth going with some of you on what I talk about. I'm always open to being right and wrong, so feel free.
Yeah, please do. And if you have anything you want to tell us, any comments, any questions for us, we are looking for people to, you know, call in and leave voicemails or leave questions about the lifestyle, and we will answer them as best we can. We are not experts, but we do this, so, and it works for us. You can give us a call at 573-55-SWING. That's 573-557-9464, and leave a voicemail for us. And we promise to talk to you, to answer your questions, to give you the time to be a part of it. And if your question is awesome and we really want to talk about it, we'll put it on a show. And that'll be great. And you'll have a little bit of moment of fame there. So thanks for listening to Life on the Swing Set, and we will catch you next time.